Why doesn't God reject believers when we sin? Why doesn't he reject believers when we... There was a couple of denominations, and I won't mention them, all the years that I was in the prison system, that would come to the prisons and come to the jails for one purpose, and that was to excommunicate any inmates that we had with the, in those facilities from their religious organization. Now, tonight when we're looking at this, why doesn't God reject believers when we sin? It's because that we as Christians, we are not a religion. Our whole focus is on a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I know the secular realm calls it religion. You and I who know Jesus call it a relationship. A lot of difference. In religion, you have rules. And most of those rules said, don't. Now, in a relationship, you have a connection. In the case as a Christian, we are connected by our hearts to Christ. He connects himself to us. And you remember this morning when I was saying that I have no idea about our training, this boot camp that we're involved in here on earth, have no idea about that, but I do know this, that we're being prepared for something so much greater than you could imagine that we're going to be doing throughout eternity. Now, that is a relationship. When it doesn't matter, it doesn't even matter how much someone that you love dearly, your child or whatever, doesn't matter how much they go against you, what they've done to you, that relationship means that you're always ever ready and willing to forgive. Here's a problem. When that child or that relationship gets so bad to where it continues to be a negative relationship, it hurts you because that it doesn't. There's not one a stopping point there to where you can reconnect. That hurts, okay? What God lets us see in our human relationships is how we feel when we are let down, when we are hurt, when we are betrayed, when we are pushed to the side. It's who threw the book at me? So what we need to recognize tonight is the difference between religion and relationship again, as much as I stress that. But we humanly have that connection. But now I want you to imagine that the connection spiritually is so out of this world, out of the realm of our minds to be able to conceive the greatness of the relationship that Christ with us, that we will never understand such love that Christ has for us. Now, knowing that, though, even though I don't understand it, I know it, and I believe that. So, why doesn't God reject us believers when we sin? Number one, because his love is unconditional. Now, God says, Larry, I love you. That's unconditional love. If it's unconditional, then it doesn't have anything to do with my condition. He loves me. He loves me when I'm right, and he loves me when I'm wrong. And I listen to people all the time and watch them grimace in a lot of past meetings and all over the years when I would make a statement like this. Really? He loves you when you're right and loves you when you're wrong? Yes, he does. That's love that's unsearchable. That's love that you or I will never understand this side of heaven. You see, I really don't know whether we will ever totally, even in eternity. I haven't died yet. So, I can't, you got to cut me a little slack here. I don't believe that we will ever totally understand that greater type of love. I just don't think it's because we're not God. And remember, God is love. All right. Lamentations 3:22. God's compassion never ends. Now, make it personal. God's compassion for me never ends. I like it. Well, now, Larry, you should show the same compassion to everyone else. Oh. Really? Okay. Now see the difference between me and God. You catching it? Huh? Okay. It is only His mercies that have kept us from complete destruction. Meaning we deserve it. I deserve to be destroyed. I deserve to be kicked out. I do not deserve the great salvation that I have. But of course, my salvation is not based on my merit. It's based on God's love. It's based on Him being in control of His creation. And we, as human beings, are the most precious of anything He's ever created. He says so. As a matter of fact, to the point that He says, I love you as much as I love my son, Jesus. Now, you can't understand that either any more than your pastor can you? But He does. Now, God will never stop loving me because I am a recipient of His grace. Grace, unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. So grace is a gift that God gives me and a love that He extends to me that I do not merit. If it's unmerited favor to begin with, then what can I do to earn any deeper favor? See, God's not going to love me anymore, no matter how much good that I may think that I'm doing or any of this. He loves me. Well, now why? Again, go back to what we've learned over the years. Because God already sees me as complete. I don't. You all don't see me as don't. But God sees me as already there with Him and already complete. And so therefore, He makes sure that all this foolishness called life does not get me out of His favor. We're living, again, in the most awesome period that was ever prophesied about. The day of grace. If we live in the season of grace, we live in the church age. Number two, why doesn't God reject believers when we sin? Because our salvation isn't based on our performance. My salvation is not based on whether I'm going to toe the line. That's religion is. Religion is. When they would come in to excommunicate these guys that were a member of a particular denomination, finally, I remember well going into a boer that was in the prison and saying, I object to this. You cannot allow this to continue, to go on. It's causing more trouble out on the yard than anything that could ever happen. You've just come in. I mean, and I had the bad men. I mean the bad, bad guys. And every one of them were ornery. And every one of them told me they were all guilty. And they were that mean. But you don't do that. The ones especially that are that mean, and especially when this chaplain's got to be in a room talking to him. I didn't appreciate that. And, you know, when you push away any hope of tomorrow, then what do I care what I do today? If you don't give me hope for tomorrow, that there's a chance, just give me a chance. When you say it's over, you don't have a chance, even in the life to come, well, I knew it was foolishness because I'm Christian. But they focused on their religion. And therefore, that made them more dangerous. because my salvation isn't based on my performance. Titus 3, verse 5. He saved us, not because of the good things we did, but because of His mercy. I'm going to be merciful to you, Larry. Oh, Lord, what did I do to deserve that? Not one thing did you do to deserve it. But I love you. Now, doesn't that make you want to do better with the Lord? When He forgives you, just even though that you're a jerk? Am I talking about me? Yeah, I guess it was. But yeah. Okay. If you don't get into heaven on the grace of Jesus Christ, you're not going to get there. Anybody have any objection to that statement? His love is unconditional. My salvation is not based on my performance, because my salvation is in Jesus. Does not the scripture Lord, return to me your salvation. My salvation is Jesus' salvation that He has given to me. He did that for me because He loves me. He saved me. Therefore, I'm not in charge of it. Whew. Boy, am I happy I'm not in charge of it. Brother Randy's on his way. Man, he's a little slow, isn't he?
I don't think he's slow. No. I think the scripture says, I just lost my train of thought.
It was that eye surgery.
I know.
Yeah, I know. See, when they get that close to the gut, go ahead. Have you remembered it yet? It's really gone, isn't it?
Yeah.
God still loves you.
No.
Paula, yeah, He still loves you. Heaven, me, even though you just lost your mind.
No, I've lost it years ago. Oh, well, I'll remember.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, I do that all the time. Okay. Yay! All right.
Wasn't it King David that said, "Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation"?
Yes, it was. Yes. Yes, it was. And not only that, he didn't just say it once.
No, I know.
And he said it in many different ways, many different times. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to remember when King David, before he became king, how he was, there's a 10-year run there with him living in caves and all of that kind of stuff. That's pretty low self-esteem when you're hiding in caves and rocks. And, yep, Lord, please restore to me your salvation, because I'm not doing very good on this on my own. Why doesn't he reject us? Number three, because Jesus has already taken my punishment. Double jeopardy doesn't count. In America, we have a law called double jeopardy. 1 John 2:2. When Jesus served as a sacrifice for our sins, He solved the sin problem for God. Not only ours, but the whole world's, meaning whosoever will, let him come. Sin problem is solved. What destroys God's children? Sin. Why does God say, "I hate sin"? Because it messes with His children. Sure. And He knows, He doesn't pull us away from sin. We grow through sin. You getting it? The training focus that the Lord leaves us in is in this land, on this earth. And as we live, hopefully, we learn some hard lessons, don't we? Yeah. Have you ever known, all the bad stuff that's ever came on me, I brought on myself. I admit that. I say that. I see that. Yeah, I cannot look at anybody else. I can't even do that from Vietnam. I can't look at the enemy and say, I didn't bring that on myself. You know why? I'm the one that said, "Yeah, I want to be a Marine. Yeah, I'll go do it." And here I get there and I'm thinking, who was that idiot that said yes? holding up my right hand to go over and get shot at and eat rats. Okay. God does not punish you. He disciplines you. Punishment is done in anger. Discipline is done in love. And why do we always say, parents, never discipline your children when you're angry? Are you all they're snatching bugs out of the sky? Okay. Punishment says, this is what you get for what you did. Discipline says, I want to train you. Big difference, isn't there? Punishment, this is what you get for what you did. I deserve whatever I would get, but I don't want to get it. Got it?
Yeah,
I don't want to get it. I like grace. I love grace. And I love that grace saved me. And Jesus loves me. I'm fine with that. Everybody, all of you want rules and regulations to some type of religion? I love my relationship with Jesus because he gave it in pure love. He related to me. I love him because he first loved me. Read that in the book, didn't we? We love him because he first loved. Yeah. Number four, because Jesus understands my human weaknesses. That's why God does not reject believers. Because he understands my human weaknesses. Any of you all understand your human weakness? I don't understand my human weakness. I don't understand your human weakness. I don't understand. Well, I do on Kathy's human weakness is Larry. Yeah. And I understand her. God looks at us and he says, I just love you the way you are. Now, don't that make you feel good? But, Brother Larry, it's not about how you feel. Oh, yes, it is. It's about how I feel. It's about how I feel in my relationship with Jesus. Because I not only know I'm saved, I know I feel saved. I feel safe. I feel that Jesus Christ is always going to be with me no matter what bad case of the stupids I find myself in. And that can really get strong. All right? Why would I teach somebody something just the opposite? Why, as a Christian, would I lead people to Jesus Christ, share Christ with them, knowing that the Holy Spirit is convicting them? They accept Christ. I baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then I look at that young Christian and say, now, here are the rules you got to keep. And not only that, Jesus just saved you, but I don't want you dressing like you're dressing anymore. Well, it was good enough to get saved then. You know, and then we start changing, laying down these rules and regulations. Because my granddaddy said that you keep it this way. Well, your granddaddy don't have a thing to do with me getting to heaven. I was saved up on the Jesus Christ. I believe. I say I believe. You say I'm saved, preacher. You baptized me. I come out of the water, and then all of a sudden you tell me to get that ring out of my nose. I ain't telling them to do that. Are you getting my point? It doesn't have anything. My salvation isn't based on that. My salvation is based on the same basis your salvation is on, and that's Jesus Christ and his great mercy. Grace. Oh, I love grace. I reckon that's what we're all going to be calling. Hey, grace number one, grace number two. Throughout heaven. What's your name? I'm Grace. Yeah. Oh, I'm Grace. Okay. Hebrews 4:15. Did I go over number 4? Because Jesus understands my human weaknesses. Yes, you all don't know where I'm at either, do you? Okay. Hebrews 4:15. I haven't read the verse. He understands our weaknesses. For he faced all of the same temptations we do, yet he did not sin. Okay. He faced all of them. That's why he had to go through it. Jesus had to conquer every situation. Now, listen to me on this. He had to conquer every situation. That means from everybody that has ever been born to everyone who would ever be born. He had to face every, because every one of us are tempted in different ways. What's a temptation to you may not be a temptation to me. Most of you all don't care whether you would chew on a cigar or not. Right? Yeah, okay. Well, that's, Tim, I need to get off the subject right now. Got to thinking about it. Does taste pretty good after you smoke them. But think of it. So everybody would have different temptations, right? Jesus had to conquer all of them. He saw us coming. He knew us before we were ever conceived. Before time began, God says, I knew you then. Woo! We're older than we think. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, yeah. But God knew it. And God made sure when he came to earth as his son in a human form that he would conquer anything that would ever affect us. Because when he saved us, he's going to save us all the way. You don't have to be go back and do it all over again. No, you don't. And I know this drives some people crazy, but here it comes. Once saved, always saved. He does it right the first time. Jesus doesn't make a... He knows what makes me tick. He knows how I'm wired. Oh, me, Larry, you have a few shorts in your wiring. But I know that. I know how you're wired. And he made sure that he'd have the right kind of tape to fix that short. I guarantee you it's red. Red, okay. Number 5. Because God doesn't hold on to grudges. Aren't you thankful? God does not, I think the way it would be said from the pulpit, Brother Randy, is, my child, what sins are you talking about? You see, the sins are wiped away, he said, as far as the east is from the west. And don't get all tangled up in that, because they do not meet. Okay? We're talking about eternity. And God says, No, I will not let them. Why not? Because my son conquered them. They're conquered. And I will make sure that the blood my son spilled was blood that will always, always win for you. We're winners. Yeah, I could die right now. I'm a winner. Some of you all would be a winner. Think of it. God says, you don't have to worry. We'll be together. And that's the reason I keep reminding you all this, because don't think you're getting out of anything because you're getting out of that body. Because the rest of us are going to catch up with you pretty soon. Or going to be catching up with me. However way it goes, you got it? We're going to be together again. Do you ever really lose a person? They're in your heart, aren't they? They're part of you. See, that's that personal relationship I'm talking about. See, I can never be taken away from Jesus because I'm personally connected. any loved one that you have that has gone on, you always have within your spiritual memory the part. And what do you remember? Their spirit. You'll forget what they look like, except there will be a time in the life, their life, somewhere down there. It could have been a younger time, an older time, whatever, that you will have a picture of what they look like. That will be a part of you, you know, of what they look like. With my mother, it'll be the picture of her in her 70s, because she never looked like she was in her 70s. And you know, seeing her that way, not at 105. But it's always going to be a spiritual type of a connection, a relationship connection that goes all the way to the spirit. That's an awesome, awesome gift that only God gives to human beings. Oh, we're so special in His eyes. We need to be that special in each other's eyes. You all need to look at your pastor and say, oh, you're so special. I'll write that down for you so you don't forget it. Ready? Psalm 103, verses 9 through 13. God will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He has not punished us for all our sins. Woo! Nor does He deal with us as we deserve. He is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him. The fear term here is awesome respect type of fear. If you are a believer, God is not angry with you. Why? All of our punishment was taken on the cross. All of our punishment was taken on the cross. Jeremiah 3:22. Come back to Me, you faithful children, and I will forgive you for being unfaithful. Now, let's go back with Jeremiah here. Now, Jeremiah would, you talk about connected by the fire. Well, Jeremiah was, but listen to this scripture again. Come back to Me, you faithful children. Whoa. He is not saying you unfaithful children, is He? He said, come back to Me, you faithful children, and I will forgive you for being unfaithful. I am never, and nor will I ever be considered unfaithful, because I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb, not by my knowledge or what little there is or anything else, but by the blood of the Lamb. I am always counted faithful. But He says, come back to Me. What's going on? Training. Training. That's what's going on. Every step you take in this human existence is of training. Training for what? I don't have any idea other than for eternity. What He is going to be having us doing, you do, or I do, or where we're going, or any, I mean, we're going to heaven. Don't let me mislead you there. We'll be in heaven, but we will always continually praise God. Is not praising God more than words? Isn't it more than hallelujah, praise the Lord? Yet it is hallelujah, praise the Lord. But as you're hallelujahing, praising the Lord, then we are doing. We will always be doing in God's service. There will never be no, you are not going to be on the cloud with the harp floating around. No, well, you might be on a spaceship. We got a few space cadets anyway that go around. But think of it. You see what I'm getting at? There will never be a time when you're not purposeful, when you are not in service to God in action. We're action characters. Man, we're characters. Aren't we, Brother Larry? Thank you, Brother Larry. Yes. As soon as you came up, I yanked that ring right out of your nose, didn't I? What should I do when I sin? Return to God. Now, I'm using human terms here. Return to God. I can't be snatched away from God. I cannot be snatched away. And I can do things that hurt other people and do all of that, but I cannot be taken out of God's hands. Tell me who's strong enough to take me out of the hands of my Savior. Doesn't work that. Jeremiah 15:19. If you return to me, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me. Restore you to what? Let's see, how would I would put it humanly? Get a little sense slapped in you. I'm going to restore you so you can continue to serve me. When your countenance gets down, when you feel broken, you're not much good. You're not any good to yourself, and you don't feel good to anybody else. Yet other people know that you're not much good the way you are, but they still want to keep you around. I appreciate the idea they still want to keep me around. So when you come to your senses, what do you tell Peter? When he comes to his senses, tell him to come here. That's what Jesus said. That was the message sent to Peter. When I think one of the translators, when he comes to himself, the other is when he gets, that's my paraphrase. When he gets out of having a cupids, tell him to come and talk to me. It's the realization process in your life. Whoa, I've been wrong. Who'd ever thought that? See, that's the human condition. Okay. Isaiah 1 verse 18. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you clean as freshly fallen snow. Or the accurate translation there, the closer that you would relate to as bright as light. Bright as light. But we can relate. All the scripture is given to us in worldly terms so we can relate to those terms. Okay? And then as you grow in faith, as you grow in the Spirit, then you can see the difference. As you remember, you're still out of the Greek. You still have about 15 different words. Different words in the English language is accurate for that one Greek word. So, bright as light, white as the snow, and all of that, it's all correct. What do you relate to? Only God can do that. Only God's Word can do that. Well, now, Brother Larry, I read that scripture, and here's what I got out of it. Then we'll go around, here's what I got out of it. And thinking, man, that's a lot to get out of. Jesus wept. It is. Why did Jesus weep? He wept for me. He wept for the lost. He wept for the unbelief. All are accurate. Isaiah 54, verse 7. With great compassion, I'll take you back. That's the way I want to be taken back. Great compassion. Don't want that little old compassion stuff. I want the great compassion. That God-loving, Jesus-dying for compassion. That'll preach, Brother Andy. Yep. Great compassion, I will take you back. Psalm 51:12. Restore to me again, here it is, Miss Paula, the joy of your salvation. Your salvation. I didn't have a thing to do with getting me saved. I came under conviction by the Holy Spirit. Under conviction by the Holy Spirit made me look at me. I didn't know, as a young kid, and you start to sin, You know, I would relate to it as, yes, I did. I was getting a cookie out of the cookie jar that was so precious in my mother's house in Buffalo, Kentucky, and I broke the top. They didn't have Elmer's glue or any of the other stuff then, or if they did, I didn't have it. So the way I was going to hide my sin, I grabbed that top and threw it over the fence. Because my mother would never notice the top was gone. See, that's a child thinking. So I could not relate to what real sin is. I mean, that looks pretty cool to me now. I don't even hardly see that as sin. But as a kid, I saw it as sin. I'm guilty. I did it, but I didn't know the Lord watched me break that either. And then I went further in that sin. You know what I did? Mom said, do you know what happened to the top to the cookie jar? Nope. I had no idea what happened to it. Well, but Brother Larry, I justified that because I didn't. I threw it over the fence. I don't know what happened to it. The neighbor's hogs could have rooted it right in the ground. I didn't know what happened to it. That was a double whammy, Brother Randy. I sinned twice. I got saved in that sinful state. That cookie jar, Miss Wendy, was not keeping me out of heaven. Young lady, wasn't. So therefore, but now, see, to a kid, you're looking at it that way, but now I'm grown. I see sin differently. God sees sin as sin. Sin is anything that harms his child. That's sin. Anything that harms you or me is sin. And God hates sin. But he doesn't hate me. He saved me anyway, despite that gone cookie jar. He saved me anyway. I went back to try to find it later, never did. I'll confess something else as a child I did. Faye's getting nervous over here now. Now, I had 15 cents to give to church. I went down to church on my own. And I thought, do you realize how many pieces of candy I could get for 15 cents in those days? Yep. And sinfully, I didn't give it. Well, who's going to know? All I got to say is, yep, put it in. I come back. I am so guilt-ridden. I take the 15 cents. Guess what I did with it? Candy. Threw it over the fence. Right over there where the top to the cookie jar was. Later on, what was the other sin? I went back looking for it. I thought if I found it now, see, it would be clean and I could go ahead and spend it. Everybody would have forgot about it. Now, think of that stuff. You all never did anything like that, I know. But, yeah, that was your pastor's confession. And let me tell you something. That's about as deep as any sin you're going to have me confess to you. You got it? The 15 cents and the cookie jar top. What should I do when I sin, return to God? Where was I? I got off on a great compassion. I was Psalm 51:12. Next. You ready? Restore to me. No, I did that. If you could lose your salvation, Jesus' prayers don't work. It's impossible because he prays for you every day to the Father. Now look at this one. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, this is my old English. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost. Song, Randy? Huh? Yeah. That come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth, to make intercession for them. Jesus is always in intercessory prayer for me. And God always answers Jesus' prayer. And Jesus is with our Father in heaven praying for me. Folks, Christians, you got it made. And if you don't have a church home, you're within the Vine Grove area, you come and see us, 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove.